This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As we hear about the new businesses and bistros and bars opening in Corktown, Midtown, and downtown Detroit, the question persists, and what about the neighborhoods? All around the city, there are homeowners who have made the choice to stay, to roll up their sleeves and do for their neighborhoods what the city has not been able to do. One of those homeowners is here with us right now, Charles E. Brooks Jr., or as I've gotten to be able to call him, Chuck. His story goes from being shot on a Detroit street, feeling as though his world and his life were over, to being a man on a mission to help rebuild his city brick by brick. Chuck Brooks tells his story in his memoir, 4234 Lakewood, The Story Behind the Glory. Chuck, it's good to have you with us on Stateside.
It's a blessing to be here.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
I traveled to the east side of Detroit to meet you at your home and see the castle at 4234 Lakewood. It's inspiring. It's mind-blowing knowing you've done this all yourself. But before we talk about what's there, let's talk about how it came out of the day that you were shot by someone who was trying to carjack your truck.
Yeah, carjack one of my work trucks. I had three of my children with me, and they had a need for a truck, and they wanted mine. And during the process, I ended up getting shot.
What do you remember about those moments after that happened?
Not much, because it was very serious. I got hit in the main artery, and I laid in the street for 32 minutes waiting on the EMS.
Out of that, as you kind of write about how this calling came to you, it kind of reminds me of St. Paul getting knocked off his horse when he was still Saul, and God saying, hey, I have something for you to do, something big. And you say that's kind of what happened to you.
Yeah. In the hospital, during my recovery, I was still in grave condition, recuperating, and the Lord has spoke to me. Well, actually, I spoke to the Lord first and told him that I wanted to get up out of the hospital, and that would he grant these three things. I wanted to walk again, I wanted to preach again, I wanted to pour concrete again. And, you know, the Lord said, sure, you know, it's done. And I thought that was the end of the conversation, but then the Lord reminded me, there's more to this story, and I have something that I want you to do.
And what was that?
He told me he wanted me to go get his children, his church, and the city of Detroit.
And knowing that you're a builder, you're the right guy to do this mission of taking your corner of Detroit, which is what you've done. You've turned it into a shining example of what someone can do on his own. You have a beautiful house. You have three huge garages. You have a huge fountain, new curbs and sidewalks, and you're still going. I know you've acquired a property right by yours. I mean, you're just going and going and going.
Mm-hmm.
Because?
Well, actually, you know, it's more than my home. It's also my business. You know, I run our home improvement business from there, too. And as the Lord gives me divine instructions on a daily basis, I just continue to move forward. And it's mind-blowing.
Give us an idea of what you as a resident got from the city in terms of services or support, particularly in these years, you know, leading up to the bankruptcy and through the bankruptcy.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, if I could just sum it up in one sentence, it would be nothing. I mean, you reach out to them, you beg them, ask them for help, you go down there, and, you know, I fought that fight for years trying to get help business-wise, homeowner-wise, and absolutely nothing. It's more heartache and pain than anything that you receive from them. At least that's what I experienced. So we never received any help or anything from anyone. It's heartbreaking.
Mm. Your corner stands out, but I also noticed, talk to us about the impact that is through these years. How many years now have you been working on the castle?
2009, when we went full throttle with God's permission on his assignment.
So you've been open to direction to just keep doing. It's being revealed, as you mm-hmm. described to me when I visited your home in Lakewood. And what I see as I look up and down your street is it's contagious.
Yeah, it's very. Well, not only on our block, but I mean the surrounding blocks, people are tending to do more. They're paying attention, and it's like a ripple effect, you know. You see more going on. You see more nice manicured lawns. People are painting their homes, doing more work on their homes, and it's turned out to be a beautiful thing, you know, and people are being more creative in the neighborhood, too. It's like everybody's caring now.
And I'm wondering, there's so much talk, Chuck, about the rebirth of Detroit and Detroit post-bankruptcy. What in all of that seems true to you as a lifelong Detroiter? And what's missing from all of this conversation about Detroit's rebirth?
The neighborhoods and the people that have really been here trying, striving, and the desolate neighborhoods, that's the biggest part. And the little people, you know, that's the biggest part that's missing from the whole conversation. I mean, we hear about Midtown, Downtown, Corktown. We hear about all of those, and it's like they're doing this, they're doing that. But you never hear of anybody coming down to the neighborhoods, the forgotten neighborhoods, and, oh, let's do something down here or do something down there. It's like every man for himself down there.
Although there are those who say, well, you have to start somewhere. Let's start right. with the heart, with downtown,
right.
and hope, and the idea of, you know, move it out, move it out.
But could I add on to that?
Yep.
You got to understand that, and I don't mean to be disrespectful or anything, but the heart of Detroit is not at downtown. The heart of Detroit is where the people are, the people that have stayed, the people that, you know, don't want to leave in spite of, and they continue to stay here. I mean, you go to some of these neighborhoods and you can find some of the best families, some of the best well-kept homes, I mean, and people that are just out there doing it, you know, such as myself. But
on your own.
Yes. So the new Detroit starts right there on that corner where hope and inspiration lives. And it rains from there. It rains from there, and it's just like a seed.
I think a lot of people who hear your story of being shot, lying there, bleeding out, would completely understand if you had said, you know what, I'm done, I'm moving out. But you didn't.
Well, it wasn't only me getting shot. It was my own city turning their back on me, funds that were available to not only help the homeowners but the business owners. I mean, 50 things had me packing my bags, wanting to leave, but, you know, I kept trusting in God and staying.
What do you think most needs to happen, Chuck, to boost Detroit's neighborhoods?
Well, first off, they need God and faith, a foundation, something to look to tomorrow without broken promises. We have a police department that covers the whole city, but certain areas does not get the assistance that they need. So it's got to be something that's going to cover the whole city and affect the whole city, not. It seems like we're segregated, you know, if you really add it up. You know, I mean, there's no reason in the world why, if you're on this side of town, police response is a little bit better here, police presence is a little bit better here, you know, it should be across the board the same. And the funds that we do get from Washington, some of that money should make it to the neighborhoods. I would like to see more of that money in the neighborhoods, you know.
You write in your book about this mission to continue to rebuild Detroit brick by brick. What do you ultimately hope the work that you've done, starting with your corner, and then who knows where you're going to be led and what you'll be doing, what do you hope it'll mean for your city?
I hope that it has brought hope and inspiration, and that people continue to look and say, oh, if he's going to stay, I'm going to stay. And then they'll tell somebody, hey, look, you know, we got this guy that's been through all of this. He's continuing to stay. He's not letting nothing stop him. And it looks beautiful down there. And so what happened is becomes a beacon of light. And then it's a ripple effect. And they'll tell one. And that's how we're going to populate the city. Because how do you inspire someone? You got to sweep around your own door first. So I guess we did a little sweeping around our door. You know, that's the ultimate. And it's actually doing it. We get people come all from all over the world to look at that place. You know, so it's way bigger than my home. And I know a lot of people have built a lot of nice homes. And believe me, they wouldn't want millions of people looking at their house, you know, on a daily basis. But it's way more than my home. It's a mission that God has me on. And I love the journey. I'm loving the ride.
Chuck Brooks, his book is 4234 Lakewood, The Story Behind the Glory. And we put a slideshow of photos from our visit to 4234 Lakewood on our website at michiganradio.org. Keep us posted, Chuck, and we want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You're so very welcome. I appreciate it. I'm honored to be here.